Great pleasure of sharing the Word of God with you this morning. And I believe I've heard from the Lord as to what to teach. So let's pray as we get started. Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank that we can break the bread of life together. And that as you implant this Word in us, it begins to work effectively in us. So today we open our hearts. We open our ears to hear your voice. Holy Spirit, you have your way in this place. And we just declare, as you do and as you minister to us, we will be changed. And we will leave here different from how we came. Glorifying you, walking in these things that you're teaching us today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to, for the next several times I teach, I believe I'm going to be talking about the same subject. And so I've just entitled what I believe will be a series, I Can Receive from My Father. So how about everybody saying that with me? I can receive from my Father. Let's say it twice more. I can receive from my Father. I can receive from my Father. And it's so important that you and I individually believe that. That not somebody else is believing it for us, but that we believe it ourselves. And today I want to talk specifically, we're going to lead up to this thought that I am good ground, and good ground receives the seed. So we're going to sow some seed today concerning how we receive, and I believe your hearts have been prepared to be good ground, so it will produce for us. So turn with me, if you would, to the book of 2 Peter, the first chapter, and we're going to look at verses 2 through 4. And I'm teaching from the New American Standard, and I believe that's what will be on the screen. And what we're going to do today is really lay a groundwork about receiving. You know, for some people it's almost mystical, and for some of us it's easy to receive in one area and not to others. And we're going to get into, not today, but a lot of those topics. And let me just make this statement. I don't want to be the person who judges, or that's not a good word maybe, but evaluates God by what I see that He didn't do for me. And by that I'm saying, if we've prayed for somebody, and I can use my father as an example, and we prayed for him, and he went on to heaven and was never healed of what we prayed for, I don't want to judge my God by what didn't happen. I want to judge him by what the Word of God says, by my relationship with him, the love and his goodness that I have come to know, no matter what I saw with my physical eyes. And so this is really what we kind of want to talk about today, is getting past looking at things and having any concerns about them coming to pass. You know, rejoice always. That's not written just for good times. Pray without ceasing. That's not written for good times. There's going to be some adversity that comes against us, and so we just need to understand, as we go through these, we don't want to be moved to change our view on what we've heard about the Lord. So, 2 Peter 1, verses 2 through 4. I'm just read through them, and then we'll talk about it. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you and I may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. So let's just go through that, starting back at the beginning. Grace and peace be multiplied, not added, but He wants us to increase rapidly, to grow constantly. And how do we do it? in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, I have, in my lifetime, particularly as I've walked with the Lord, gosh, back since I was a teenager, but really once I got into adulthood, I've seen people talk about knowledge in two camps. One, it's about the Word, and the Word only. And the other, no, it's about the Spirit, and just do the Spirit thing, and the Word is not as important. But I believe for us to have the true knowledge of our Father and of Jesus, and it's of our Lord Jesus in this verse, that knowledge has to be equally from both. We have to have the Word to learn who He is, who the Spirit is, what the Spirit is going to do, how He's going to react in or interact with us. And so it's not one or the other. Verse 3 says, seeing that His divine power has granted. Now, English majors, what tense is that? Past tense. So that is something that is already complete. So if we have, if He has granted it to us, He has given it to us, does that mean that it's ours right now? And I think the answer to that is absolutely yes. And He's given to us everything pertaining to life in this world and godliness. You know, we talk about us being eternal creatures, eternal beings. We need to realize that eternity has already started for you and I when we were born again. And so we can have these things, everything that pertains to life and godliness. And so think about how that comes. That comes through the knowledge of our Father and His Son. So there is power as this Word is working effectively in you that brings about change through us. And then verse 4, for He has granted to us precious and magnificent promises in order that we might become partakers. Now, for us to become partakers, you're going to see we have to take something. It's not just going to fall upon us and we're going to know and everything's going to be just copacetic from now on. You're going to have to grasp what the Holy Spirit and what is depositing in you, so that you act on it. And if all we have to do is partake, then certainly it's by grace that it comes to us. Let me read you this in the Passion Translation. May grace and perfect peace cascade over you as you live in the rich knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Everything we could ever need for life and complete devotion to God has already been deposited in us by His divine power, for all this was lavished upon us through the rich experience of knowing Him who has called us by name and invited us to come through a glorious manifestation of His goodness. As a result, He has given you magnificent promises that are beyond all price. Through the power of these tremendous promises, the Word, you can experience the partnership with the divine nature by which you have escaped the corrupt desires of this world. And when I read that, and it says we've been given that, and it's ours to be partakers of, I thought about 2 Corinthians 1:20, which says, for as many as are the promises of God, in Him they are yes. Therefore also through Him is our amen, or so be it, to the glory of God through us. And so again, we see us partaking of this by participating. How? By declaring amen concerning us having those promises. The New Living Translation reads this way, for all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes, and through Christ our amen ascends to God for His glory. Now, I like that because we get the benefits of it, but God receives the glory. He's the one who's glorified as we walk in His divine nature, in that, as we'll see, Zoe life. Now, obviously, if we're going to get the benefits, and it's given by grace, so we haven't earned it, then even if we miss it, we need to not start condemning ourselves. And we'll actually see a scripture in a moment that'll talk about that. What does grace mean? Or we'll say unmerited favor. And I don't think that does it justice. I like a definition that says, it's as if sin never existed. That's how he's going to treat you, as if sin never existed. But it goes beyond there, because it's really all of his power available to you for whatever you need, given freely. And so we don't want to think about grace independent of that power working in us. And that's what this is so important, because that knowledge has enabled that divine power to go at work in us. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. Let's just affirm this. And I'm going back to some basics about receiving today. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one can boast. So it's not an earned gift. It's something offered to you. So if it's offered to us, then what is my responsibility? What should I do? Now, if you've been in church much where there's good teaching, at some time you've probably seen a pastor talk about the act of receiving by saying, this is my Bible. This is. And it is, as Robert will tell you, it is all marked up. There are verses that I have to remember what's under the writing, but that's okay. But if I said, this is my Bible, it's very precious to me, and I want to give it to you, what do you need to do? You need to take it. I mean, I can stand here all day long and say, I give it to you. It's yours. Walk away with it. But if you don't possess it, if you don't reach out and take it, it does no good. Now, when we talk about partake, or the scripture talks about partaking of it, let me read the definition of that word. I found this very interesting. It means to possess or to share a certain nature. Well, I would say his nature in the case we're talking about. To share a certain nature or attribute. So what would that attribute be? That Zoe life, that eternal life, all that salvation brings to us. Now with that, then let's go to 1 John, the 5th chapter, and look at two verses, 14 and 15. 1 John chapter 5. Verses 14 and 15. And this is the confidence we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, key phrase, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. Now you're going to see this verse again in the coming weeks, because we're going to talk about some other words like ask, as we talk about receiving from him. But we know here that we can ask in confidence. Now, the word for confidence in the Greek is the same word as boldness. I don't want you to think arrogance, because I know a lot of people who I attribute, they would say they're just bold, and I'd say you're arrogant, because there's no love in what they're doing. So I don't want you to misunderstand that. Confidence. The ability to go before the throne yourself as if sin had never existed. You don't need my mama to take you there. You can go there right by yourself when you know you're confident in him. Now, that said, confidence comes when? When we have knowledge, and that knowledge has produced understanding, and that understanding is producing wisdom to act upon it. And so that's the process, and what we're doing today is just obtaining that knowledge so the Holy Spirit can minister that understanding and then wisdom. That's why when this says, in back up a verse, if you would, Miss Mary, in 14, if we come to him and ask according to his will, that's why this is so important. What does F.F. Bosworth say in his book, Christ the Healer? I can see it on the copy I have in my home. It's on chapter 5, about third paragraph down on the left-hand side. It says, faith begins where the will of God is known. So if we don't have knowledge of his will, then we're going to have a hard time of having faith. And I want to use a healing example. Go to Mark 1. Don't lose your place, because we're going to come right back here to verse 15 in just a moment. But in Mark 1, the 40th verse, it says, and a leper came to Jesus, beseeching him. So he came humbly. He didn't come boastfully. But I believe he came with a degree of expectation. And falling on his knees before him, saying, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now stay right there, Miss Mary. I want to ask you a question. Could this guy, did he come in faith? Was his request made in faith? Now, he showed great courage in coming. I'm not going to deny that. But what did the verse we just read say? If he's coming in faith, he knows what? The will of God. But he's saying, I know you can. And there are a lot of people who know that. But are you willing, and even more so, are you willing to do it to me, for me? Now, let's go to the next verse. So I think he came expecting, hoping. He showed great courage in coming. But until he hears these words, moved with compassion, and that means deep down within, he just didn't feel sorry for him, moved from deep within his spirit, Jesus stretched out his hand and he touched him and he said to him, I am willing. I believe when that man heard those words, he moved from wanting something to happen into faith, knowing that Jesus would do it. And so then we should expect what happened in, or what 1 John 5:14-15 says, Jesus has heard it. He's asking according to his will. Jesus affirms that. And what should happen? What Jesus does, he says, be cleansed. But I want you to see, in this sequence that we're looking at, back up one, I'm sorry. As he was moved with compassion and he put his hand on him against the law. I mean, he wasn't supposed to be there, but now Jesus, according to the law, would be now a partaker of the infection he had of the leprosy. And yet he's cleaning. But notice that the healing did not come until Jesus said, I am willing. I just think that's so important. How often do you have people come to you to pray? And healing school is about teaching us how to minister to others. I want this so bad. I need this so bad. But what do they need to know? That Jesus has already done it for them and already provided it to them. It's not something, he's not going to be moved just by the condition. But he is going to be moved when we express his word back to himself that I am receiving, I'm asking what you have told me, you'll already give. And then 42 concludes by saying immediately, the leprosy left him. And he was healed. Now, let's go back to verse 15, because I just wanted you to see, we must be certain it is his will. It's not something we're just going to hope and want and even need really bad. Verse 15 back in 1 John 5 said, if we know he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have. And that's the phrase I want to focus on. That we have the request which we have asked from him. Now, do we have those requests even if we don't see it right away? That's what this says. The word have here is not the same word that we have seen previously, and we'll talk about that word in just a moment. But it is the word echo, E-C-H-O is how you spell it, and I probably made a massacre of how I pronounce it. But it means this, to have, to hold, but there's a key to this word that is a key inference because it implies you're making room for it. It's as if you have something in your hand and you let go so that you can take hold of this. And I think that is so important because you can translate that, and we'll get into this in much more detail in the next week, next time I teach, which I think is next week. But it's akin to seeing. Because I truly believe that what we look at, what we focus on, what we give our attention to, we make room for in our being. And what you and I make room for in our heart is what we're giving power to. We're ascribing power to it. And so we don't ever want to let what? A problem appear larger than our God, even if we don't see the results for the first day or the first week. Now, when we talk about the other word that's used, you're going to see it's in a prolonged form in the Greek, which means it happened and it continues to happen. And so we want to hold on to that. So the word received is so important. What we're even talking about today, as basic as it is, to building your faith so that you can have confidence to pray according to His will. So when we receive or lay hold of God's blessings, it's really an act of faith on our part. Faith must act. And one action, one big action, is in speaking it. But I want to just take a few moments and look at some other areas on the benefits of our salvation that we have partaken of. Because we seem to think that healing and receiving healing is hard. So I want you to see how much you've already done what the Word tells us to do. Concerning salvation, John, 1st chapter, 12th verse, says, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believed in His name." Now the word that we're going to be looking at the most for receive is the word lambano, L-A-M-B-A-N-O. And it is a prolonged form of a verb, which means to take hold of or to get hold of and to take it. And it's translated very often received. But to me, that's a totally different picture. If I receive something, I'm just doing this. But we're called to do what? Come boldly to the throne of grace to take mercy. That's that same word. So that's that confidence, that boldness in us being able to reach out and grasp those things that we know are His will. And it starts with our believing for our salvation. In John chapter 20, the 21st and 22nd verse, Jesus is talking to His disciples as He's come into the room and He says, "Peace be with you." Certainly peace Himself was at that time. "As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And then in verse 22, "And when He had said this, He breathed on them, and He said, receive the Holy Spirit." He said, take it, get hold of it. And so I want you to just see that when we talk about receiving something, there is an action on our part that we need to be doing, not in the flesh, but with our faith to receive what He's talking about. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is another one. Acts 8, verse 17 says, "Then they began laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit." That's that same word, lambano. When they laid their hands on them, they took what they were doing. Now, just think about this a minute. Do you remember the definition of partake we used? To possess or share a certain nature of His. In salvation, what was happening? Your spirit was recreated in His image. Are you going to make room for that? The Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit here. The same thing. I mean, some people just think the Lord's just going to cause things to happen. But we play a role in receiving that as well. Even receiving the Word of God. Teaching. Two people can hear the same thing, yet one chooses to receive it, to act on it, and the other doesn't. Jeremiah 32:33 says it's pretty clear. "They have turned their back to me," the Lord is saying, "and not their face, though I taught them, teaching again and again. They would not listen and receive instruction." That word "leave" there in the Hebrew language also means to take. So it's not that words are just coming and I don't have to do anything. What does the Lord tell us? Be careful how you hear and be careful what you hear. So we play a role in opening ourselves up to take the word that is being taught and make it part of our life and part of our own. Look with me at Matthew 19, 29. And I'm just going through a number of areas. This is a verse that is also a similar one is in the book of Luke. And it says, "And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or farms for my name's sake will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life." Luke adds, "in this lifetime." But the word "receive" there is that word lambano, to take it, to hold on to it. So now let's look at another healing example. So go with me to Luke 18. And I think this is one that has been taught in the last several months here. I believe it was Pastor Trey that taught it. But I want to start in verse 35, because it's a different word used here, but it ties into, I think, what is an important concept that we need to have in receiving. As Jesus was approaching Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the road begging. And now hearing a crowd going by, he began to inquire what this was. And they told him, "That's Jesus of Nazareth, and he's passing by." And the blind man called out to him, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, we're not going to teach all that, but he's being very reverent to him. He's declaring what the Jews, who Jesus really is as the Son of David. And so those who led the way were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more. Now, does that sound like confidence and boldness to you? I believe this man had heard that everyone, including blind folks, that Jesus lays hands on or speaks to, receives or takes what he's offering. And he had confidence in this. Obviously, he wasn't going to be deterred. Verse 40. And Jesus stopped and commanded the man be brought to him. And when he came near, he questioned him, "What do you want me to do for you?" There's a great lesson here. We need to be specific when we pray. And the man said, "Lord, I want to regain my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Receive," some translations will say, "regain your sight. Your faith has made you well." And just back up there, don't go that. I'm sorry, I didn't get it finished. "Your faith has made you well." That's the word there in King James says, "Your faith has saved you." It's the word sozo, so it's everything that salvation brings to us. But the word there is very different. When Jesus said, "Receive your sight," the word he used there is in the Greek, anablepo. And it literally means, ana means up, and blepo means to see. So Jesus is saying to him, literally, see, look up. And he's telling him that, yet it's interpreted for us, receive. And so I think there is a real encouragement here for you and I. And I would ask the question, when that man heard those words, "Receive your sight, your faith has made you well," and what he really heard was, "Look up, receive your sight, your faith has made you well." I think faith rose in him, but I want to ask the question, where do you think that he saw first? Did his physical eye see first? Or did he have that glimpse, and it may have been a split second one before the physical part came, of seeing himself as whole? I believe he saw himself as whole. How we see, what we look at, what we make room for in us, the sickness or what the Word says about us, makes such a big difference. And we'll talk some more about that. Even if you have to look at the same thing day after day after day, we still have to be fixed on the fact that it's His will, I've asked for it, He will hear it, and He has given it to me. So too many people, I believe, today are really just sitting, waiting. If it's His will, He'll do it. And that's not a phrase that we ought to use when we're praying for the sick. We've seen clearly, if Jesus told that leper, certainly I will, then it's just as good for you and I today, because he never changes. He's not a respecter of person. So that small phrase there can empower you and I in the knowledge of our Father and the Lord Jesus to be positioned to receive everything that we've asked him for concerning our healing. Look with me at Mark 11, 22 through 24. So many people pull this verse out, or these couple of verses out, and talk about them separately and act like that's the only time this concept is presented in the scripture. But you're going to see it's what we've been talking about. Jesus coming by where he's cursed the fig tree and it's withered, and they brought it to his attention, says to them, have faith in God. Literally, it's have the God kind of faith, or have the faith of God. Now, some people would say, whoa, I can't do that. Well, wait a minute. Are you a partaker of the divine nature or not? You have been given by Jesus that measure of faith that was his faith. Then Jesus says, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says is going to happen, it will be granted to him. It goes on to say in verse 24, therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted to you. Now we're going to come back to these verses later on too, because I want you to see the difference in what he's saying in 23 and 24. And I think that's a really important concept, even as we look at John, the 12th chapter, in that same context. But what's he saying here? Those things that you pray and ask, believe that you receive them. Now, if we believe that we've received them, we must know it's the Father's will, and we must take them. And it says, they are granted to you. But when must we believe that? It's not, I believe it when I see it. That takes no faith. It's when you pray, when you speak those words, I believe, means I'm taking it. You know, in both the Hebrew language and the Greek language, it's very interesting to me that the word for hearing also means to be obedient. So if we say, I hear you, Lord, but I can't do it, I don't believe we've really heard. Because if you hear with that knowing that it is his will and that you're supposed to act on it to receive or take it, then that word, I believe, will empower you, that because it's working in you effectively to do so. So in these weeks, we want to talk a little bit about how we can position ourselves to do things better, to receive better, what hinders us, and there are a bunch of other questions. But I want to start with this. There is no condemnation as we're talking about this, to being ministered. I'm learning these things myself, day by day, how to position myself better to teach. I mean, to receive that which I'm teaching to you today. Don't just assume it's always you either. Because there are a lot of times when I see people go to someone else and say, would you agree with me in this? We do that almost flippantly. And the scripture says, when you do that, stop and pray. Let them ask, and it shall be. But there are a lot of times when you hit somebody cold with something and there's no way. They're not in a position of walking in faith, but they don't want to admit it. So sometimes it may not be even your fault. So there's a lot of things that impact this. So I don't want you to begin to have any judgment against yourself. You know, we've got a lot of scriptures that start out with beloved. That's the basic starting point. If you know you are the one who is beloved of the Lord, then that's going to do a great work in you to diminish any condemnation that tries to rise up. And it's going to be the foundation for all the confidence that you have. So let's go back, and we'll begin to wind this down with Proverbs, the fourth chapter. Where do we start? Where is a key? And I believe these four verses, 20 through 23, are so, so key. We started off praying about opening our heart, inclining our ear to hear. Look at what the wisdom of the Lord is through Solomon. My son, give attention to my words. Now, attention. I start to say I have a puppy dog. My dog is 18 months old, and she still acts like a puppy sometimes, but she is a big dog. She's not a little dog. I want you to have the correct vision of it. But there are times when I talk to her, I call her name, that she'll turn that head, and it's like she's going to be sure she hears. She inclines an ear. Now, you're nodding because you've seen your pets do the same thing. When she's doing that, what is she focused on? Me, listening for commands that she may have been taught. She's not focusing on anything else. That's what we need to be doing when we read the Word. Focusing on this Word, letting the Holy Spirit minister to us, and not going into the Word reading focused on what's ailing us at that point. And that's a little different mindset. But that's one area I believe that, and I believe Pastor Robert would say amen to this, praying in tongues before you open that, and even as you read, will shield you from a lot of that. That is so important. So, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Now, inferred in that, in the Hebrew, is when you get it, you're going to be obedient. And that's a decision that we each have to make, and we should make it going into the prayer time, going into our study time. Verse 21, do not let them, my words, depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, the midst of where you live life, to where that God kind of life is. But it's also to the hidden man of the heart, which I think can also infer our soul. So we're reading these, and we want to get them down deep inside us, not just memorize a verse. Keep them in the midst of you, your heart. 22 says, these words are life to those who find them, and they are health to all their body. Life, Zoe life, which includes what? Health. So with that Zoe life, what we're seeing is, and we'll conclude by reading where we started today, that life, that health that we're wanting to bring forth is already residing in you and I. So life and health to all their body. Verse 23, therefore, I'm adding that because of those things, he says again, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Let me read you a couple other translations, and I just want you to see what that last verse says. King James says, for out of it are the issues of life. The Complete Jewish Bible says, for it is the source of life's consequences. The Amplified Bible says, for out of it flow the springs of life. And the Message Bible says, that's where the life begins. So it's what we do. It's how we position ourselves as we guard that heart. And what does that mean? I think it means we're careful what we behold. We're careful what we hear. I've been guilty of this. You feel something come on, or someone tells you, or maybe your doctor tells you, it may be that this is what is trying to attach itself to you. Now, I know a doctor wouldn't say it that way. But have any of you, like I have done in years gone past, run home, pulled up my laptop, hit Google, and done a search to see what's on it? What's the consequences of it? What does it look like? What am I doing? I'm making room for something in me. Instead of, and you're smiling, so I'm not the only one here that's done it. But we're making room for something. And if we do that over and over, and if we start to mutter, which is what? To meditate, that's those thoughts, then we're giving power to that in our being. So we want to do just the opposite of that. And so let me just read that to you again that I said earlier, and I'll make sure I don't miss any words here. I want this seed planted in your heart well today, that what you behold, now I'm not saying you take a quick glance, nope, and turn away from it. What you look at constantly, consistently, the most, you make room for. And what you make room for in your heart and your thought life, you're giving it power to impact you. Zoe life flows from the Spirit of God to us through our heart, where the Holy Spirit resides in His fullness. And so that's why I say it's already in you. Now, we're going to pause here, but I want to read 3 John 2, and then I want to go back to the verse we started with today and just encourage you. 3 John 2, beloved, I pray that in all respects, all things pertaining to life and godliness, that you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. So when we talk about getting at this in our heart, we've got to get to a point where my heart and my thought life line up. Because when they don't, that's when I start wavering, tottering back and forth. And I want to be standing strong. I want to do what that word ECHO means. I want to make room for it. And then I want to do what that word lambano means. I want to take hold of it in a prolonged fashion and not let go, because it's mine whether I see it or not. And that is how I believe we stand and stand strong. So let's go back to where we started. 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. Now we're in healing school. Healing is a mercy. We know that. So grace containing health is part of God's loving kindness toward us. Peace, Jesus' peace. Part of the definition of peace is nothing missing, nothing broken. Everything you need there. That is what He wants to multiply to you and I. Not just dribble it out, not just give you a 2cc shot in it, of it, but He wants to multiply it to you and I. And how's He going to do it? In the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Verse 3, seeing that His divine power has granted to you and to me everything pertaining to life and godliness. So, what is He holding back? Nothing. You know, we tell people, I'll tell you a quick Millie story. I've trained her to do a few things, shake hands and those normal things, but I've also can put my arm out and I'll say, pray. And she'll jump up with those paws on my arm and duck her head between her legs, like she's bowed her head praying. And it's cute, it's fun, and we have a good time with it, and you won't believe some doors it has opened sometimes when she does that to just ask people, do they need prayer? But I will say to her, if she does it real quick, because a lot of times she's expecting a treat, she'll duck that head and then pull it right up. And I'll say, no, pray hard. What do I mean by that? Well, I mean for her to do it long, and we would say for us, more forcefully. But that's not how we're to pray. When we talk about praying hard, the hard part we have to do is getting it settled in our heart that it is His will what we are praying. And once we have it settled, the hard part of praying is over. Because then we can confidently ask for it. And then we can possess everything pertaining to life and knowledge. How? Through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. And He's manifesting that in you and I. Verse 4, for by these He has granted to us precious and magnificent promises. His will. You know, people who say, if it's your will, I almost say, why are you praying? Or either they talk about, well, God's in control and he's going to do what he wants to do. I understand what they're saying, but they're not understanding the authority that he's given us to act on these promises. If you are praying and asking God to do something that he doesn't want you to have, praying hard isn't going to force it out of his hand. And if you're praying for something that's not his will, or you saying, well, he's going to do what he wants to do, then I would ask, why even pray? We pray, we fellowship with him because we know his will, we know his goodness, and you're going to see a lot of what we ought to be, we would say, praying about, we're going to be asking. We're going to be making a statement that says, you've promised this, and I'm here to take it. And we're going to do that from a standpoint of being confident, not arrogant. And just think about that. All the precious and magnificent promises, so that we may become partakers. He's done the work in you to make room for all this. Remember that's part of the word partake, or definition? He took out that old heart of stone, and he's replaced it with his nature, which is what that word also means. That divine nature. And with it, we can escape all the corruption that is in this world by lust. I just want to encourage you today that part of receiving is having the absolute confidence that these promises we've talked about today are elements of receiving. These elements of receiving are things you have already done because you're sitting in here with a room full of believers and you're one yourself. How many of you have received a healing in your life and can testify to it? Most hands are up. And so we have experienced the goodness of God. So we're not going to judge God by, well, Sister so-and-so or Uncle so-and-so didn't get judged. How are we going to judge him? By what you know his will is. And when we do that, then if he offers something, we're going to be ready to go get it and take it quick. So let me pray. Father, I just thank you today for giving me words to share that I believe you wanted to encourage people here today, plus anybody who's watching. Father, I thank you that receiving from you, is not difficult. You've made it easy because we don't have to earn it. We just simply believe you and we partake of that nature. So, Father, right now, I just pray over these people here that the words they've heard, that they will be able to just meditate it and not remember my voice, but remember what Holy Spirit you spoke to them as they gain this knowledge and then pick up your understanding and wisdom how to act on those things that they're facing. Thank you, Father, that you have always been the healer. That is part of your goodness, and we today are able to walk in the fullness of that and to partake of everything that the stripes that Jesus took on his back for us purchased. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your sacrifice for us. We honor you. We honor you as we partake and take hold of what you got for us. You be glorified in it. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.